Good morning to everybody. It's a pleasure to see everybody come out and join us for our class this morning. We're going to have an interesting morning. In class, we're going to be talking, obviously, and continually talking about, the last week in the life of Jesus. We are now in his arrest period, where he was arrested and taken before Annas, and then I get him confused, Caiaphas, and then Annas, or Annas, and then Caiaphas, and then ultimately to Pilate. Then he went to Herod. Now he's back at Pilate, and that's where we were at last week. Who remembers what we were talking about? We were talking about Pilate. What was happening with Jesus in front of Pilate at that point in time? Yeah, and that washing hands is kind of where we were at in our discussion last week. If you recall, the question was posed, did Pilate washing his hands relieve him of any of the accountability for what occurred? No. Not at all.
I was going to say, Gil, no more than saying a sinner prayer relieves you of your sins.
Exactly right. And sometimes, Eric, you bring up a very good point. I want to be very careful how I say this. The sinner's prayer doesn't relieve us of the burden of our sin. Just because we ask God to forgive us of our sin does not necessarily mean we have been relieved of the burden of our sin. What else has to be involved? Repentance, action. We have to actually be making changes. If we're not making any changes, you can pray to God all day long and it's not going to do you any good. Okay? That's the
avenue.
Pardon?
What opens that avenue?
That's the blood of Christ.
And that's
yeah. Part of the action that we have to engage in. We have to turn ourselves to God, repentance, and it's that godly sorrow that's the motivation to do that. So, again, it's just one of those kind of catch 22. That's the wrong way to say it. We have to pray, 1 John 1:9, ask God to forgive us of our sins. We're commanded to do that. But we have to put ourselves into a position to where God, number one, hears our prayer, and number two, the blood of Christ will cleanse us of those sins. Charlie? Absolutely. Yeah, that's the key. So that was where our discussion was at last week. Then we went into how did the Jews respond to Pilate washing his hands saying this is...
They yelled, crucify him.
They were yelling, crucify him. And then they said, go ahead, what, Iris? They said, yeah, the blood is on our heads and what? On our children. Do the decisions that we make as parents affect our children?
Of course. Work with a crack baby. Work with a crack baby sometimes.
Yeah. If you've never experienced that, talk to Brady. It's a very, very, very difficult thing that a child hadn't even been born yet, but because of the decisions that mom is making, whether it be crack, heroin, same thing, I guess, some kind of a drug or alcohol, it affects that baby while in the womb. And then when the baby is born, they're born addicts. There's just no other way to say that. And it's a, Yeah, the decisions that we as parents make affect our children. What if I as a parent decide that I'm not going to have anything to do with God and I don't allow my children to ever be exposed to worship or to raise them in the way in which they should go? I have sorely decreased their opportunity to have a relationship with God through Christ. And that's on me. Now, they're still accountable for the decisions that they make. But I'm going to stand accountable for that. So we have to be careful. And when the Jews said, fine, his blood is on our heads and on our children's heads, that didn't change the whole dynamic of what was going on. Pilate was accountable and responsible. Now, there's another question I thought of this week in this discussion. Did Jesus have to be crucified? Yes. Absolutely, yes. So, knowing that that was God's plan, and Jesus was the culmination, the finality of that plan, did that relieve Pilate and or the Jews of their responsibility? Not at all. And we know that because when you read Peter's sermon in Acts chapter 2, what is it that he indicts the Jews of doing? This Jesus whom you crucified. Okay? He was the Messiah. He was the Son of God. So that was where our discussion was last week. We're going to be continuing on. We're on lesson 25. Question 15 is where we got. Question 14, I guess, is where we got to. And we're in Matthew chapter 27. So if you happen to need a lesson sheet, raise your hand, and I think that there's some in the back. Looks like we're good, Charles. Thank you, though. Remember how to do it, Eric? Okay, thank you. And thank you. Sitting here freezing to death. So we're going to get going in class here in just a second. We'll let Eric take care of getting the heat turned on.
I don't know what it means, but this side of the building is hotter than this side of the building. So I don't know what that means. I'm not saying anything.
Well, I got to tell you, it ain't my fault because I'm in the middle. My hot air is going both ways. All the young people are sitting over here, and they're the ones that, yeah, the metabolism is still working, so, you know. Anytime. Well, Brady, as far as I'm concerned, you are. Everybody over there is young. Most everybody. So it is time for us to start our class. Charles, could you lead us in a word of prayer, please? Amen. Thank you. Okay. Lesson 25, towards the bottom. The people cried, crucify him. So Pilate released Barabbas, who was a murderer and also had led one of the leaders of a revolt. Okay. But that's who they wanted. So that's who Pilate released. Jesus is now to be taken away. Pilate has said, fine, you take him and do with him what you want. Before the Jews take Jesus away, what happened? Roman soldiers beat him. We see prior to this some indication that Jesus had been abused by not only the Romans, but also by the Jews. Remember when he was at, where was it, Caiaphas, that they spat upon him and mocked him before they brought him before Pilate? So there's some indication that he's being abused there. He goes to Herod. We don't really see necessarily an indication that there's any physical abuse, but there is taunting and mocking. They remember Herod dressed him in this fancy robe and sent him back to Pilate. Come on in. Charles, maybe a lesson sheet. We're in Matthew chapter 27, and this morning's going to be interesting. In class, we're going to be talking about the last week of Jesus, ultimately leading to his death. But in our sermon this morning, we are going to have a discussion on, anybody care to hazard a guess? The birth of Christ. Absolutely. Somebody read the board, didn't they? Yeah, so we're going to try to cover the full spectrum today. But we don't see any indication that Jesus was beaten. And that's what I mean when I say this physical abuse. Because what we do see, remember the prophecy that said he was beaten so badly that you couldn't what? You couldn't look at him and recognize that this was Jesus the man. That's how badly he had been beaten. If you've ever done any research into that, what happens to the face? You know, you can get hit in the face and it swells up if a bone breaks, but you can still look at somebody and say, ooh, I know you. You don't look too good. But the prophecy says his visage was unrecognizable. I picture that as not only was his face swollen, but the bones were broken in his face. Oh, no, you're right. Well, in his crucifixion, they didn't get broken, did they? But his face had been beat up pretty bad. Yeah. So we're talking some serious physical abuse that has gone on. And it begins at least in earnest, is what we see now. Okay, go ahead, Brady. No, he was not. Paul was a Roman citizen because at least half his heritage was Roman. That's how he became Roman. Jesus was full-blood Jew. And but it was illegal for him to be beaten at the time frame that it's all going on. So some of the things that we're going to be looking at and talking about, we can't grasp the intensity of what's going on because we don't experience this kind of thing anymore. We just don't. So it's hard. Pardon? In this country, yeah. And that's the caveat, in this country. Many places, unfortunately, still do. But it's difficult for us. And yet, even in this country, we still see people being oppressed. We see people that are being mocked for who and what they are, maybe where they came from, whatever. God condemns all of that. Just, we're not to engage in that. The scriptures tell us, and I mentioned this earlier, that as much as it is within me to control, what am I to be to everybody? Have peace. You can't have peace with somebody if you hate them for whatever the motivation or reason. It just doesn't work. That's how they were responding to Jesus. So the Roman soldiers began to beat him. That's question 14 that we see in Matthew 27, verses 27 through 31. Okay. Come back now in verse 3, Matthew 27. Question 15 is, upon seeing that Jesus was condemned to die, what did Judas do? Stop a moment. Who was Judas? He was the disciple that had been chosen by Christ, who wound up betraying him. And did you see the size of the can of worms that I just opened up? Jesus chose Judas. No argument there, right? He was one of the original 12 that was chosen. Was he chosen because Jesus knew he was going to betray him? Is that the whole purpose? So the whole time that Judas traveled with Jesus for this three and a half year time frame, was he only there for the purpose of betraying Jesus? I see one no. Tell me why. I agree. I don't think that Judas was chosen to do evil. Think about that. If that's the case, if Judas was chosen to accomplish evil, who chose him? Jesus, the Son of God. Jesus, God, chose him. That means God chose him to do evil. It doesn't work that way. It really doesn't. So we had three hands. Was it Brady?
So 2 points. One is, it would be extraordinarily hypocritical for Jesus to choose him for that reason, and then also to send him out to preach and to represent him.
Which he did. Yeah.
And second, I'll get in trouble for this one. I chose maybe to tell my daughter to clean her room, hoping she would do it.
You bring up a real hot button with me, but that's, you know.
Okay, so, he may know the person's characteristic. They have free will. They have choice. They could do it. But likelihood is, they won't.
Opportunity is there for them to succeed if they so choose.
And in the Last Supper, he challenged them several times, trying to pull them back.
Exactly. Karen? Hang on to that thought. Eric?
Well, just 2 points. There had to be a Judas. Whether it was him or somebody else, there had to be a Judas. The second point is that God uses us all in the direction that we want to do, or the direction that we want to go, God will use us. And the Roman letter is so pointed and serve the creature rather than
Mm-hmm.
And so we'd have to be very careful about putting God in that position.
Exactly. Doris. Mm-hmm.
He knew that these things were going to happen, but that doesn't mean that he was making them to happen.
Yeah. Brady, then we'll go.
Karen said, the Old Testament says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Well, how did God do that? It was because of the nature of Pharaoh's heart.
Yeah.
It wasn't becoming, we talked about this before, the same sun that melts butter hardens mud. It's the nature of the heart. Same thing with Jews.
So when you tell your daughter, and you can tell her I didn't mention her name out of respect. When you tell your daughter to clean her room, and she chooses not to clean her room, has her heart been hardened? And in a sense, the answer is absolutely yes. Yeah, but in a sense, her heart gets hardened against your word. How did God harden Pharaoh's heart? God told Pharaoh, let my people go. And Pharaoh rebelled against that, but it was the same word that hardened Pharaoh's heart that caused Moses to go before him and say, let my people go. It's the same word of God today that in some hearts leads them to faithful obedience, being baptized and following after God through Christ. That same word can cause people to reject it. Yes. Yeah, and that's the point. Take that and combine it with what Karen said. What in this world, who in this world can reach out, grab you, and pull you forcibly away from God? Nothing. God says nothing. Not even Satan can pull you forcibly away from God. The only one that can take you away from God is sitting right here. You make that choice. Judas made the choice to allow Satan to enter his heart. It wasn't forcibly. God doesn't allow that. Go ahead. It had to occur. Okay, that's our introduction into question 15. When Judas saw that Jesus was condemned to die, what did Judas do? He felt great shame. Went back to the chief priests and tried to give them the silver. How many pieces of silver was it? 30 pieces of silver. And to this day, that idea, 30 pieces of silver, is an indication of betrayal.
How much is that?
I didn't add that up in today's money.
It would
be, I don't know what the price of silver is, but a piece of silver was roughly about an ounce to an ounce and a half. So it would be 30 plus ounces, 30 to 45 ounces. Yeah, so what's silver going for today? I have no clue. You have to have it to worry about what it's selling for. And I'm how much did you say, Karen?
$45
an ounce. $28 an ounce, so it's about $600-$700. But at that day and time, it was a lot of money. Yeah, nothing like 30 pieces of gold, but yeah. Great, Charles? Yeah. Well, that's because they took it and bought the potter's field, but yeah.
For the ironic reason that these holy men said it was blood money.
Yeah.
They couldn't take it back, which is hypocritical.
Yeah, it was their money that they gave him, so. You know, when we talk about that, and it's very hypocritical. Oh, we're not going to take the money back. That's blood money. It, to me, it's the same concept of Pilate washing his hands, and the Jews say, no, that's on us. It's almost as if they had taken the money back, they would have been saying, fine, we're to blame for this. But by not taking the money back, they said, no, this is all on you. You came to us. All we did was give you some money. You're the one that did this. So, no, this the accountability is all yours, Judas.
The outside of the cup is clean, the inside is
wrong. Exactly. Yeah. Why did, yeah, go ahead. That's a thought, isn't it?
I don't know if it explicitly says, but it's very clear about the remorse that he felt when he realized maybe what he thought might have happened didn't happen, and he's condemned an innocent man to die.
Yeah.
The level of remorse that he feels.
So our can of worms just got bigger, and that's okay. Think about that thought. What was Judas's expectation level? It says that when the beatings began in earnest, that's when he began to feel this remorse. Maybe his expectation level was that they would just arrest him and stone him to death, a la Stephen. I don't know. That's a very interesting thought. But something triggered in Judas his remorse. Maybe that's what. Okay, this is. I'm going to go out on a limb. There's nothing to support this. This isn't even my opinion. Yeah. Is the thought then that had Jesus called the 12 legions of angels, that he would have been saying, yes, I will be the physical king of the Jews? Boy, you talk about speculation. I'm waiting for lightning on that one. We had both Karen and Eric had a hand.
Well, I was just going to say what Karen was saying, that they still thought it was a physical kingdom. They hadn't gotten it yet. So maybe Judas was thinking that I get the silver,
yeah.
And nothing's really
going
to happen.
And this would be the catalyst to cause the kingdom. Could be. Yeah, Eric?
I think it's happened to all of us. There's some point that our actions that we do on this earth go so far you know you can't turn it back. You can't rewind the car. And I've often thought, and the scripture I believe bears it out, who was Jesus released to? Not just soldiers. The soldiers of the governor. These men were experts in their field of
Yes.
I just was curious about what Chad brought up, and I went back to chapter 26, and I'm not sure exactly how chronological this is, but right before Judas goes to the chief priests and asks them, what are you willing to give me to hand them over to you? Right before that is the story about the woman with the perfume, and there's this
Oh, I think there is. Yeah. When you really stop and think about the progression of sin, as James tells us about, that there is a progression, that I'm not just sitting here and say, oh, I think today I'll go murder somebody. It's a progression. There's all of this little things that build up. I think that's what we see with Judas. Whether or not that was the particular catalyst that moved him to go and see the priest, I don't know. But there's no question that it's part of it.
And there's many examples in the Gospels of the disciples being reactionary.
Absolutely.
Jesus trying to teach them to be a different way, to
yeah.
not be reactionary, and instead to think about it and examine it and be more cool, not so hot-headed, not Peter and all of them.
To be in self-control. Yes.
That's a really good point about the woman and the costly thing. Jesus told him, leave her alone. What she has done, she has done. And so he's still trying to teach them. Even though he's trying to take it off track to say, oh, well, the money could have been given to the poor. Jesus tells them, instructs them, no, here's what you don't understand. What she's doing, to my burial. She is doing it.
So let's take this discussion and let's make, if we can, application for you and I. Because really, that's what this comes down to. What does this mean to me? What do I take from this? Judas builds up, finally makes the decision to sell Christ out. Which he does. Sees what's happening to Jesus. And it hits him. Okay. I'm going to give this money back. That way I'm no longer responsible. No. The deed's been done. You are responsible whether you keep the money or not. They wouldn't take the money. Make application. Is there one? Maybe I'm stretching here. I do that a lot, just so you know. Go ahead, Jillian.
I think this is a huge lesson in, like you were saying, Karen, self-control, and also just being aware of how we're feeling and being aware of how it affects us and how it moves us to take certain actions or not take certain actions. Being more self-aware. I mean, I wonder what would happen if Judas came back to Jesus after this and said, I don't know why, but I'm really upset about this. Can we talk about it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I'm super upset.
Come back and said, forgive me.
Right. Or just opening up a dialogue about how we're feeling about it and what our hearts are.
Mm-hmm.
What's going on in our heart.
Absolutely. Karen?
I just think we also have to think of consequences for our actions.
Yeah. There are consequences for every action we take. Go ahead, Sheila. Paul, go ahead, Brady.
So, I mean, I see maybe three things there, and then I'll kind of build on maybe what she said, which is one, a lesson about allowing.
Yeah, and that's a good point. And the passage that keeps banging around inside this empty thing I call ahead, Paul says we need to be careful that we don't fall away, because when we do, what do we do to Christ? We crucify him anew. Judas, and I believe what we're seeing here, is his emotional and probably somewhat intellectual response based upon the teaching that he knew. He had been with Jesus for 3+ years. That's his response to seeing what's going to happen to this man, Jesus. The physical beating and the impact of the consequence that he can't do anything about. He can't change it. It's going to happen. And he crucified Christ. And in his mind, he had to have made that connection. We do the same thing. And that's what Paul writes. He says, you re-crucify Christ. There and then doors. Yeah, Peter writes in 1 Peter 1, verse 1, he says, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeals that you're going through. That's life. It is what it is. We have to figure out how to deal with it. I really like the example that you used of David. There was a consequence for David's actions with Bathsheba and Uriah. It was the death of his child. While the child was sick and dying, what did David do? He fasted. He sat putting ashes upon his head in sackcloth, praying that if possible, this consequence could somehow be avoided. But when the consequence occurred, when the baby died, what did David do? Got up, cleaned himself up, and got on with life. There are consequences for our deeds and our actions in this world. We can't change. Accept them. But get on with life. Get back in a relationship with God through Christ. That's a great example. Thank you for that. Doris had a hand. It was. Okay, we've talked about Judas. We've talked about what he did, what he could or should have done. What was the biggest problem that Judas had that I see? It doesn't really state that, but I see it in the implication of what he wound up doing, committing suicide. What did Judas fail to recognize? Go ahead, Chad. It was forgivable. All he had to do was go to Christ, go to God and say, forgive me. I messed up. It was forgivable. Go ahead, Brady.
That's supported by his action. I would word it slightly differently. He's very accurate. But the number one predictor of suicide is hopelessness. Judas
Yeah.
The only out is, in their mind, is to die. Peter had evidently hope. He could be forgiven. That would be the implication.
And that is huge for us today. Have you ever talked with somebody and their comment is, I don't attend services, I don't do what God wants me to do because God can't forgive me for what I've done in my life? Yeah, he can. And he will. And he wants to. That's why he sent Jesus. That is one of the hardest things to convince people of. One of the first steps is to acknowledge, I'm a sinner. The 12-step program. Step one, acknowledge I've got a problem. That's step one. Because until I acknowledge I've got a problem, I can't even begin to comprehend that there's a solution to the problem. God gives us that solution through Christ. Judas, well said, because he had no hope, he chose not to ask for forgiveness. We can't, that's just not the way it should be. We should always have hope through Christ. Charles, is it time to ring the bell or have you already? Thank you. So, we're going to actually quit on that. Not a whole lot more to say. That's a powerful, powerful lesson. So thank you all for your discussion. I truly, truly appreciate it. It makes class for me go much faster and is much more interesting. So thank you all.